Well, good morning. Welcome to the Bridge Church this morning. Any Welsh fans with us? A few? I'm sorry, it didn't work out on Wednesday. I was there, we were there supporting Willing Wales to do something. It was a bit of an anticlimax, unfortunately, but they did superbly well to get to the semi-finals anyway. And it's great to be part of that story and to be in Wales as that was unfolding. So. Amen. Don't be too disappointed. We're in the midst of our Vision Refresh series on Sunday mornings here at the Bridge Church. And one aspect of that vision is that we want to be a church that plants another church. In fact, we want to create a church planting culture at the Bridge Church. We feel that's a key part of what God is asking us to do. It's a key part of us playing our part in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And a key part of us maintaining an outward focus as a church. So we're not just saying this is about us and what God's doing here, but it's bigger than that, and it goes beyond that. God wants us to reach out elsewhere. And as I said before, as we thought about this topic, that's part of our story as a church. And so our own story is one of a testimony of someone who had a church planting heart. And a vision to see something rebirthed and reestablished in Chepstow, in the church as it was, with just a handful of people left. And that person came, Tim Robertson, we know it. He came with a heart to see something happen, rather than just giving up and saying, well, nothing can be done here. Came in with that church planting heart and said, God, you can do something here. And because he took that step and made that sacrifice, we're privileged to be part of what is unfolding here today. So we're part of that story. And what we benefit from today, being part of this church family, this growing church family, is because somebody had a church planting heart. And so we want to reproduce that. We want to multiply that. We don't just want to forget that as part of our history and part of our story. We want to keep that alive. And so we're looking to do that in the months and the years ahead. And this morning, we're privileged to have Chris James with us from Vintage Church in Portishead. Chris has got a big church planting heart, and we're grateful that he's been able to come and join us and just impart some of that heart to us this morning. Chris currently leads Vintage Church in Portishead, a church that he planted, and he'll tell us a bit about that in a moment. They also have helped repurpose a church in Weston-super-Mare as well, him and his team, and also repurposed the church in Bristol, which they've successfully released only recently. So there's a lot of experience, a lot of heart, a lot of passion for this area of God's mission. And so we're really grateful that he's been able to come and share with us. I'm going to just, he's going to speak later once the kids have gone out and stuff, but I thought it'd be good for us all to get to know him. So why don't you just give Chris a warm welcome as he comes up just to... I should be on, Chris. Good morning. So, Chris, you're going to talk to us a little bit about your church planting story and Vintage Church. Before you do that, why don't you just introduce yourself, tell us a bit about who you are, your family, that kind of thing, so we can get to know you a little bit.
Great. Well, it's good to be with you.
Yeah.
I was actually in, it's not the Millennium Stadium now, is it? What's it called now? It's changed its name.
Principality.
That's the one. Yeah. I was there on Wednesday cheering Wales on. Yeah. And my dad was Welsh. He's with the Lord now. So I feel like I've got a bit of Welsh blood. We're all making Welsh connections as soon as England left the party. So, but it's amazing to be here today. And thank you so much, Martin, for inviting me to come over. And I just think you've got amazing pastors in Martin and Sarah.
Yes, we
do. And Martin is definitely punching well above his weight in marrying Sarah. She's amazing.
Right, so mate, he's right,
one,
right.
He is one lucky guy. And I am also punching well above my weight. I've married a beautiful woman also called Sarah. I've got four children. Lost count there. I've got four children. I've got three boys. Joel is my eldest. Calm down, girls at the back over there. He's about your age. So
he's not here this morning.
He's not here, so. Unfortunately, no. I've got an 11-year-old called Caleb, and I've got a 9-year-old called Ezekiel. So Joel's 13, and I've got a little girl as well called Phoebe. She's our tiger princess. and she's crazy. So, and one dog for my sins called Winston, an English bulldog. Yeah. So we brought him to the party as well. So, yeah, right. That's my family.
That's good. And so you're now in Portishead,
yep.
Leading a church called Vintage Church. Just tell us something about that story, how that came about.
Okay, very briefly, we moved down from the Midlands in 2008, and we were working with a church plant in the north of Bristol. We really kind of moved to work with that church plant because we just felt that we wanted to come into some covering, and we needed some direction within our lives, and we felt a call upon our life for ministry. So we moved down to Bristol to work with that church plant, and when we were kind of Googling, houses, Bristol, Portishead actually came up all over the internet because if you don't know Portishead at all, it's absolutely amazing and it's beautiful and you can actually just see it across the water actually. It's just right by the dock area. And we landed in Portishead and we fell in love with Portishead. And it's amazing what God does. So we would never have moved to Portishead if it wasn't for this little connection and maybe a heart to connect. And what we did is we found that when we moved to Portishead, I was working in quite a large church in the Midlands. It was about 650 people would attend. I was like the associate pastor there and kind of being offered everything. But we just felt called that God was calling us down to town to the southwest. And we were kind of living in the area and our neighbors and our friends were coming to Christ. And it was just an amazing, all these messages that I'd preached years ago about us being salt and light and getting out into the community. It just felt like God was kind of doing something within us. And our friends and our neighbors were coming to Christ. And we were just trying to get them connected to a local church. But they were a little bit reluctant. Some of the churches where we live, there's some great churches where we live and they're all thriving, which is great. But these new Christians just weren't really connecting to these churches. So reluctantly, really, we just felt the call to start a church. We'd never read a church planting book. We'd never even thought about church planting. I'm a bit of a maximizer. I like to take stuff and make it better. To start making stuff brand new, that's really tough. So our journey really started that we were reluctant church planters. We we hired this hall. And we just invited these guys to come. We kind of went into the hall on the first Sunday. I remember it like we were standing there. Now, if I close my eyes, I can smell the hall. I can see the six people that were around. It's a school hall it was. And I was just like, Jesus, please turn up. If not, we are going to look stupid. So it's not a great prayer to pray, really. But that was our church planting prayer. Jesus, please use me to just do something in this area. And God's just started to gather people to us, and he was really faithful in answering those prayers. So 2010 we planted the church, and we're just kind of like 6 years in now to it. And along that journey, God's been really, really amazingly faithful, and it's been great.
Good. So that heart then that you carry, because obviously your heart for church planting is growing all the time.
It is, yeah.
And your passion for that. Can you describe how that heart was shaped within you or formed within you?
Sure, yeah. I think God was just doing something within us and a few other people, I don't think we're all called to plant churches, but we can all somehow be involved in church planting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we can all do something, and every single one of us can be involved. And for me, God just worked on my heart that, it was a bit of a journey. I had to kind of die to self a little bit, We can be so selfish in church, can't we? We can kind of just be consumers, and we can come along and just like, oh, it's a little bit hot in here today, or the coffee was a little bit strong, or it was a bit weak, or I saw Cynthia and she didn't smile at me today on the door. And we just all of a sudden, we come to church just for us. And God was doing something in my heart, really, where I just needed to die to self and understand that this is not about me.
That's right.
It's not about me. Yeah. Actually, church is an avenue or a gateway that it's God's design. There's nothing greater than serving God's kingdom through serving the local church, whether you're hoovering the hall or whether you're setting chairs up, or whether you're engaging in looking after the kids, or ministering to young people, or whatever it is that we're called to do, we can all do something. And all of a sudden, God was doing something in my heart where he was changing my attitude, really, and seeing that it wasn't about me. I wanted to kind of take a big church on and make it great. I didn't want to start from nothing and really go the long way around, really. But God actually changed our attitude on that. And it was really about not me being a consumer and what I wanted, but it was about serving these people that were coming to Christ and making disciples, because that's what we're all called to do, right, ultimately. So God definitely did something deep down in our heart. And I think he does that when you open your heart out and just say, God, I want to have that kind of pioneering spirit.
That's great, Chris. Good. We're going to hear a bit more from you later. I'll just stay there a minute, because okay. We want to pray for you and your church. It's been great to get to know you over recent years through Assemblies of God stuff, and a couple of on-tour trips as well, isn't it? Crete and Kenya now.
I can't believe
it.
Where's
next, mate?
Yeah. Well, where should we go next? Let's go somewhere nice this time. We don't want to go to, you know, Kenya's. It's beautiful, but I just kind of came back and I was tired. I just want to sit around like a pool or do something like that this time. Should we just do that this time?
There's many mission trips.
Should we call that study time? Can we try and make that sabbatical or something like that? I think we deserve it.
So Chris and Vintage Church, Chris came to Kenya with Martin and myself last year, and their church is also helping support the Compassion Project at Genesis School. So that's another link between the churches. And I know you raised some money for them to refit the library area at the back of the land there as well. So that's good. So that's progressing as we partner together as well. So Vintage Church, how can we pray? How can we pray for you guys over in Portishead?
I think there's several things, actually. I'm quite inspired today by you guys just coming into this building here in Portishead. You know, we're desperate for a building in Portishead, and we can do it. You can do it. And we can do it also in Portishead. We're just on the verge of maybe needing to move to expand. We're in a local primary school at the moment. But the church definitely in Portishead just needs to move into a facility, really, we believe, as a bit of a landmark within the town. We'd love to run a conference center in the town as well. It's needing that. And we just believe an asset and a building would be absolutely phenomenal. But I think for us, more than anything, we just want God's presence within our gatherings. Mm-hmm. You know, we're longing for lives to be transformed.
That's great.
And, you know, just in one moment in God's presence,
that's right.
It's amazing. Incredible things can happen. Mm-hmm. And we've just kind of sensed that recently. So we're just trying to create atmospheres within our gatherings. I just said to Martin before we started, just where God can come and meet with us, because he wants to.
That's
he's
right.
longing to. He's just asking for permission to, and we just need to have open hearts. So, you know, we've got a lot of new Christians. I'll be sharing that a little bit in a few moments. Yeah. But more than anything, we just want God's presence to be with us.
Amen.
And through doing that, we want to grow real healthy disciples. So,
amen.
So the facility and God's presence will be
okay.
amazing.
Let's pray. Can we stand together? It's good. One church. We're all part of it, seeking to honour God, serve him, and be part of the mission that he's given to us as his disciples and his church. And it's great to connect with other leaders in other churches and just spur one another on towards love and good deeds and the mission that God has given us. So let's just pray for Chris and pray for the church this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you're a life-changing God. Lord, thank you for the transformations taking place in Chris and Sarah and the family, the work that you're doing in their lives, Lord, to make them who you want them to be, Lord, in order to fulfill the purpose that you've given them, Lord. And thank you that you're changing lives in the midst of the church that you've called them to plant and to lead, Lord. Pray that you would continue to do that, Lord, as they reach out with your message, Lord, see disciples born and made, Lord, equipped and released, Lord. We just pray that that would increase, Lord. And we pray that the presence of God that they carry and surrounds their lives, Lord, would cause transformation and change to take place whenever they gather together, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we pray that, again, you would continue to enable them to do what you've called them to do, to increase, to expand, Lord, and to provide everything that is necessary for them to be able to do that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chris is going to just come and share with us, bring a word to us for our encouragement. Before he does that, I just want to ask him one or two more other questions. So if he can come back up, Chris, that will be good.
G'day.
So just in terms of, obviously, we're on a church planting journey as a church ourselves, so I thought it'd be just good to pick your brains and allow you to share briefly with us one or two things that might be helpful to us. And one question is this, that obviously you would have seen and encountered many different models of church planting. There's different ways to do it. It's not one size fits all. But I would guess that in what you've seen and what you've been part of, there are principles that no matter what model you're using or how you're going about it, that are kind of essential principles that would cut across any church planting model. So, you know, what would you say would be a couple of principles that would be helpful for us?
Yeah, well, I'm really excited that you guys are even just going on this huge journey. And I don't think it's brave. I think it's what we're called to do.
Yeah,
so I think it's going to be a success, and which is great, isn't it? We know that that God's about building his church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against that. As we reach out and we take bold moves, it's as if, you know, faith's really easy to kind of take, isn't it, when you're standing still, you know? But actually, God proves himself when you step and make that step.
That's right.
That's where God can kind of prove his faithfulness to you.
Yeah.
And I'm just really encouraged that it's so hard to understand sometimes that you're in the fullness and living in God's fullness when you're just kind of standing still and receiving his blessing and things are going great. But God constantly wants to prove himself to us as we step out in faith.
Yeah.
And that's what faith's about.
Yeah.
It's about us stepping forward and keeping on stepping out. I just feel for us, really, that we didn't plant the best way. I'm going to put my hands up to it. We kind of just, we were bold, and we just took that huge step of faith. And God kind of was merciful and gracious.
Yeah.
But we were like daft, really. We were just passionate about just seeing these kind of souls win for Christ in our area.
Right.
We were passionate about our area, and God was so faithful. So there's better ways to do it. I think the key factors really are this. I think you need a vision.
Yeah.
I think for whatever area you're going to be planting into, you need to kind of know that area and kind of get a vision for it. You need to understand that God's already at work in that area. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
God's already working Chepstow. Even if this, you know, the British Church didn't exist, God's at work. We just have the privilege of partnering with God, and we have our part to play in his amazing plan. So I think that's called a vision.
Yeah.
I think you need to kind of get that that vision really clear and say, this is what God's calling us to do in this area, and we're going to go for it with all that we've got.
Yeah.
And I think that's where God starts to bless. I think the second thing is you need a leader or some leadership.
Yeah,
yeah? And I think, you know, I know you guys have been on a journey with that, and I think, you know, sending out people is just an incredible way to plant churches. We were a spontaneous plant. We didn't have a mothership behind us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have like some guys spurring us on, just saying, "We believe in you. You know, we're behind you, and we're gonna support you, and we're gonna cheer you on and champion you." And we just kind of said, "Jesus, we're relying solely upon you." So we had to kind of try and make some networks and some friendships that really did help us out. But I just feel that having a leader in place is so key. I think the third thing that you're going to need is some money. So be prepared. It's a way that we can all get involved in church planting. Let me just tell you, it costs money. And I love when I read about it in the early church. I just said it at Vintage Church last week when I was preaching. In Acts 2:42, it kind of said they shared everything they had. Nobody went without. And there was enough finance to kind of achieve the vision that God had for his church. And I just said, is it amazing that God's not calling us today to sell our properties and kind of put it into the pot? Who feels good about that? Yeah, we're all feeling good about that. But let me just tell you, in this room right now, and I said this at Vintage last week, there is enough finance and money.
Yeah,
I know we don't like talking about money, but It's going to take some finance to do what's in, you know, Martin's and your heart. And unfortunately, you know, you may just think, oh, I've just got that building and I've already given into that offering. And, you know, but it's going to take that kind of early church mentality where you're going to have to finance this thing. It's going to need some funding. And I just believe that sometimes when you fund it and you plan it and you have a leader, you have a vision, you have a leader, and you have some money, it's as if you're not pitching your church plan to here, but you're kind of pitching it right up here. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we just felt we were on the back foot for many years. But actually, with a group of people behind us, wow, we could have just gone so much further. Wow. I think the final thing really is authority. And I think, you know, the great thing is whoever is going to be going to that church plant and supporting it, you are not leaving. You are being sent. Isn't that incredible?
That's great,
and you're being sent with full authority to do God's work in that area. So, you know, after I've talked about church planting today, but, you know, some of you may think, well, I'm going to give that a go and, you know, I'm going to start a church plant in my home. No, you're not. No, you're not. It says clearly in the Bible that basically you need to be sent with authority. Jesus sent out his disciples. In the early church, the early church planters, Paul, and we'll read about another character in the Bible in a few moments, they were sent from the church to do all that was in the church's heart to do. So I really believe those four things are really key.
Great. And just before you speak then, just tell us, you know, obviously we're a congregation on this journey. In terms of the rewards and the encouragements of being part of a story like this, being part of, you know, church planting and having that desire and that that goal to see a church planted, what are the rewards and encouragements that you've experienced of doing that?
Well, so we planted the church in May 2010. We kind of launched it then. And then we took on another two churches that were really in desperate need. They were struggling. And they were looking in on what Vintage Portishead was doing. And we just said, hey, we really want to help out. We feel that, you know, we're stronger together, working in this together. And God never designed his church to be all broken and segmented up. And we're stronger in doing this together. So we took on another couple of churches, and we called them restart churches. We didn't repurpose them. There wasn't really anything there to repurpose. We restarted them. So we kind of like said, this is like a church plant again, and we're going to restart these churches. So just over this last journey, you need to understand there's three people actually being baptized today in Vintage Western Supermare. But just over the last 6 years, and especially over that, we've really accelerated this over the last 3 years when we've kind of taken on these other churches as well. We've baptized now, at the end of today, 53 people.
Wow, praise God. Amen, mate.
So
that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So let me just tell you, like, I count those numbers, okay? So I'm not worried how many people are here today. If there was three people and somebody brought their granny along who wasn't really going to, I was going to say some crazy things there, but I forgot. I'm not in my own church, right? I get away with murder in my own church, but you don't know me, do you, at all? So I've got to be careful. Okay, you brought your guest along with you today, and they were just thinking, what on earth is this guy all about? I would still have said and preached this very same message that we were doing today. I think we're all called to be pioneers. We all somehow, within our hearts, should be starting something brand new. And the thing that I want to celebrate more than ever, those numbers really, really count to me, because that's lives changed.
That's right. That's,
you know, we
right.
count people lifting their hands and responding. We believe that a physical response is really important in the life of the church. And maybe at the end today, I'm going to call you guys to physically respond to God's word today. Mm. You're thinking, oh no, he's going to do an altar call. Quite possibly, yes. Okay, just brace yourself, because we're all called to respond to God. So that physical response of being baptized, I'm going to count every single number of those. And that is a life fully transformed, you know, not just inwardly, but saying, I'm going to show the world that Christ is my Savior. I want to follow him passionately. Great. That's the first thing. The second thing it's done dramatically is, I've got to choke up at this now, so you'll get a bit of heart here. You know, seeing these kids on the front row here, that was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah. And we've just kind of like in my own family, we've just made a decision in our family that we're going to train our kids to be church planters. Okay, so And if God calls them to do something different, like become a teacher or, you know, fly an aeroplane or become a footballer, which they're all desperate to be, you know, or whatever it is, you know, that, that God's calling to be, that is cool with us. But until that point, we personally have made a decision within our family that we are going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our strength. And we're going to raise our kids to become ministers of God. Yeah. So our church doesn't really function that well without the ministry of our kids getting involved. And I wish I kind of said this before, really, but I could have just probably said to these kids here, who plays a musical instrument? And I'm sure some of them would have put their hands up. Yeah. Or if I said, who would like to play the drums? Or who would like to be the bass player? Or who likes to learn and to teach others to learn, you know? Yeah. And before you know it, you're seeing the potential, not just within you guys, who look amazing, but the next generation that comes up, there is such potential. Yeah. And my 11-year-old boy today, our drummer's on an internship at the moment in America. We've sent him over there for 8 weeks to develop in his leadership gift. He's an 18-year-old, and he's Waggy's son, for those guys that may know him. He's out there at the moment. We sent three guys out last year. We're sending some of our guys to this dance workshop thing, and kind of like a holiday internship at NGM Studios over summer. Yeah. And we just believe that capturing that next generation is amazing.
Great.
Yeah. And there's such potential. And for us personally, the biggest thing that's done, like, I get choked up at this. Our church would never have started without my kids. Isn't that amazing? So they were the one that... I'm choking up. Sorry about this.
That's right, mate.
I'm so passionate about this. That's why. So you probably, it's going to ooze out of me by the end of today. Usually by crying my eyes out. Usually it's terrible. But, you know, my kids were the ones that used to get up with me at 7:30 in the morning and load the car with the speakers that we'd been given. They broke my back. They were that big. They were, you know, John Partington said to me, Chris, hey, there's loads of people out there in churches that I've got loads of gear just hanging around. Why don't you just make a church planting list? And I got these speakers on the first week. They were bigger than me and wider than me. And they're kind of like, my kids were like, Dad, what are we doing? You know, but every Sunday morning we used to load the car. Still my boy now, we still do portable church. We've got like a dual axle trailer where we put 100 chairs in it because we want good quality chairs like this. We've just spent like $15,000 on a brand new PA system because we want the best quality sound. And we've done backdrops and all this kind of stuff because we don't want people to, we meet in a school. We don't want people to think this is a school, but we want people to think, wow, this is a place where I can meet with God. So we want to try and take all the kind of like anything away that, you know, that would distress, would take away from that. So, but my boy still reverses my car onto the tow bar. And my 11-year-old boy this week is playing cajon because we haven't got a drummer, so he's playing in the he's an amazing musician. Good, my other boy's in the band as well. So once every week we put somebody young up on the stage, just one. So we don't want kids like overtaken or you know, sometimes we kind of change that around, but we just want that kind of presence to understand that our kids are not the kids of tomorrow, but the kids and the church of today. So in our church, we kind of allow the kids to have as many cakes as they want. And because I went to church and I was told, you can't do this. You can't have this. You've got to behave like this. So we don't have that attitude in our church. We say, no, you are, you know, if you're on your 30th kid, you know, sorry, a 30th cake. You know, parents, you need to take a little bit of charge of your own children in this, you know. So, you know, where's Billy? Yeah, he's climbing up the rafters because he's just had so much sugar today. But we just got this mentality we want the kids to really enjoy, and we long for that. So is that a good answer?
That's fantastic. Sorry. Really helpful, mate. Let me pray for you, and then you can let loose. Father, just thank you. Thank you for Chris. Thank you for his wisdom and his experience. Pray that you would use him. Continue to use him, Lord, to impart some of that heart, that wisdom to us as we continue to fulfill what you've put in our heart to do as well. Lord, thank you for him. Bless him, use him now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it, mate. Thanks.